Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
So my wife and I, my amazing wife is right here. She's awesome. We have a picture of our family you can put up. First, I just want to say thank you so much for being a church that doesn't just loves missions. It's awesome that you love missions, but you love us. And that means a lot to us. You're not just a professional church, but you're a church full of people that love people. And I really appreciate that so much. I love that you guys pray better than you perform. You perform really, really well, but we can feel your prayers in a powerful way. I love that you guys are really great at communicating, but you commune with God in a much more deep, powerful way. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I love that you go deeper than just the surface of religion, but I really can feel how much you really love Jesus and really love his people and his church, and that comes from your pastor. Pastor Kevin's, I said this to you a few minutes ago, but I so much appreciate that you care about us and that you pray for us, and it's been needed for sure. So this is my awesome family. That's my daughter and son. They're in the kids program right now. You can meet them in person. Right behind us there is an 18,000-foot mountain. We lived at about 10,000 feet on the Himalayan plateau. I was thinking during worship and thinking about as you guys are talking about buying this property, and as the last time we were here, you were building this property, and then we drove by on the highway and saw this property, and I was thinking about this story about a monk that was in the temple that was right behind that church, and I may have shared this story before, but he was a monk. He was 9 years old when his mom kicked him out of his yak fur tent and said, "You have to leave." So he wandered through the woods. He held his hands up to the sky. He knew nothing but to worship the king of hell. And so that's what he did. He showed up to that monastery. He walked up the stairs. He had never once worn shoes that he hadn't made with his own hands. And when he was 9 years old, another monk wrapped him in a red blanket, put shoes on his feet. And he said, "You've given me shoes, so I give you my soul." For 20 years, he took a razor blade and would cut around the top of his forehead, and he would wait, and he said he would just stand there until demons would manifest in him. He would have these crazy visions, and then he would take those visions and paint them on the walls, and then he'd worship those, and that was his entire life. And one time, you're like, how does this have anything to do with us buying property and having a piece of property that you can see on the highway? Whenever I see that kind of situation at church, it reminds me of his story, because the way that this story ended was he was in Kunming, which is this tiny little city of 8 million people that you guys have never heard of. You can Google it though. So he's in Kunming and he walks by and he sees a three-self above-ground patriotic church. It's a government-run church, and there's some things you can say about the government-run church, but God uses broken things and broken people, right? We're glad for that. So this guy walked by this church and he saw this big red cross, and he said he felt something in his heart that he'd never felt before. He felt love. He didn't know who Jesus was, didn't know what a Bible was, didn't know that anything other than Tibetan Buddhism even existed. So he went back to the temple. He sat in front of this big statue and he said, "Amho Rama Patakyu, Amho Rama Patakyu, Amho Rama Patakyu, Amho Rama Patakyu." And he's saying, "King of hell, you own it all. You own it all." Just worshiping the King of hell. And he said he saw this statue. He didn't know if it was real or if it was a vision, but he saw this statue start to fall like it was going to crush him. So he ran out of the temple afraid that he was going to get in trouble by the other monks. He ran back to Kunming, that tiny little city, and he went to this three-self above-ground patriotic church. He saw the big red cross, and he said he went in and he was going to burn incense to that cross because he thought that idol must be more powerful than this idol. So he went to the church and he left and he took a piece of paper. He drew a red cross on the piece of paper. He stuck it on the wall. He started worshiping that piece of paper because he didn't know anything. And then a miracle happened. He kept going to that church, and the church was the church to him. Nobody said, "Hey, you're not worshiping right. You need to get on out of here. You're not wearing the right clothes." Nobody said anything. I don't know why it's a Southern guy that said that, but it's like nobody said that to him, right? They loved him, and they were Jesus to him, and they embraced him into the family of God, and he felt love for the first time, and And now he's a strong Christian, and he's still in Tibet. He's still discipling people and telling people about Jesus. His name's Dawa. If you guys ever come to Tibet, I'll introduce you to him. But so that all started by somebody just walking by the church. I'm convinced that when the church has opportunities to buy pieces of property and the church has opportunities to worship like this, that it goes far beyond just these walls. That even right now, people driving by on the highway, whether they're truckers or whether they're going to their job or whether they're running from God or not, I'm convinced that God can use that Harvest Ridge sign on the highway to prick people's hearts the same way that he used that big red cross to prick Dawa's heart. Pull them out of darkness. I know that that's going to happen. And if I can invest one penny or $1,000 or whatever it is, if I can invest into buying property, I want to be part of that. I know when I get to heaven, I'm never going to say, I wish that I just saved a little bit more. I wish my priorities were just a little bit less out of, I'm never going to have that conversation with God. If there's ever regret in heaven, which I don't think there will be, but if there is, I think it's going to be, I wish I could have just done a little bit more. I wish I had just made God's priorities my priorities a little bit more. So, So God's awesome. We were missionaries in Tibet. We had a heart, still have a heart for Tibetan people. On June 8th last year, I was in a landslide. My entire world literally felt like it was ripped out from underneath me. Thankfully, my wife and kids were just about 10 minutes behind me on the trail. The entire mountain went out. In an instant, I went from sunny, everything's great, beautiful day, to broken pelvis, dislocated spine, 2 vertebrae, going the wrong way on this mountain in Baisha. That might not even come up on Google, but this little area called Baisha in the Tibetan Autonomous Prefecture of of Northern Yunnan Province. It was a hard situation. I took my backpack, I cinched it as tight as I could because I knew something was wrong with my pelvis, but I was up on the mountain at that time by myself. I knew I needed to at least get to my wife and kids. So through God's strength, I was able to drag myself to my wife and kids. My wife and kids were able to drag me down the mountain, and then I spent 2 weeks passing in and out of pain. I broke my rib a couple years ago. I would take 1,000 broken ribs over a busted pelvis. If anyone here has ever had a busted pelvis, you know it's like in your soul. It hurts a lot. And during that time, God carved out deep reservoirs with that suffering. I thought, God, I've said yes to you for everything, and this is how you repay me. I had like a more than a pity party. I had like the deepest, darkest time of my life. And I felt like God got closer and closer and closer to me, and he just wrapped his arms around me, and he's like, I love you, son. I got you. I love you. And so what I want to share with you kind of comes out of that. Cool? So my hope is that I can just hang out and talk with you. I don't do religious institutions real well. Maybe hanging out with Tibetan people in their monasteries kind of put a bad taste in my mouth for just religion. But I do love Jesus, and I love his church, and I love the family of God that we get to be. So that's kind of, I want to just hang out with you and share with you my heart. Sound good? Awesome. So have you ever had that feeling where you just want to tell people, you feel like, I got to tell somebody this thing. You're in, I don't know what you guys do for recreation, but you're hanging out, you're playing golf, or you're at the mall, or I rock climb, or you're just whatever, and you see somebody and you're like, God wants me to share this with them. Has anyone ever had that experience? Like, I just got to tell this person, or a family member or something. And more than just like, hey, I really like your shoes. Pastor Kevin, you got cool shoes. I was noticing that today. I was like, hey, I like your shoes. More than that, right? That happens all the time to me. But more than that, just like a burden. I have to share this with that person. That person has to be encouraged today. I have to give this word that God's given. And I have that feeling today for you guys. And that feeling, or that thing that I really feel like God wants to share with you, is that God notices you. God notices this church, but specifically God notices you. And so I want to share with you that, and I feel specifically some ways to pray for you, and specifically I'm praying for suddenly moments for this church and suddenly moments for you. You know, the Bible's full of suddenly moments. There's these awesome moments where things suddenly happen. For Joshua, it was when he was marching around the walls and he's on the seventh day and he's like, God, I'm just saying yes to you. All I'm doing is being obedient. This seems like all I'm doing is getting made fun of. We're not really making any strategic progress. We're just marching around these walls. But suddenly the walls really did fall down and the city really was overtaken by Joshua and his men. Right? Suddenly, God caused that to happen. There's another time where this guy, Moses, right? He's just had all of this, you know, progress where he's negotiated with Pharaoh and God's done all this cool stuff and he's had all this favor and he's come a long way. And Pharaoh says, okay, fine, you can go, right? Moses is like, let my people go. He has this word from God. He has this favor. All this stuff is clicking in place. And then all of a sudden, he walks up and there's a Red Sea. And if you read the Bible, it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart, which that bugs me. It wasn't just Pharaoh was a mean guy. It was Pharaoh kind of, I don't know how you interpret that, but Pharaoh was willing to let him go. And then God stepped in. When we sing that, like, you are not against me, in that moment, Moses could have very easily said, no, you are against me. You hardened his heart, right? He could have played all those mind games. But then something happened. He's standing in front of the Red Sea. He's got an army coming to kill him and all the men, women, and children. And if I was Moses, I think I would have been like, hey, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a fairly good swimmer. I got my family. You got your family. We're just, like, I'm not going to wait to be slaughtered, so let's just start swimming, right? But when he rose the staff or whatever, when he continued in his obedience, the Red Sea really did part and he really did cross on dry land. And God really did cause that separation between the armies that wanted to slaughter them and his progress and allowed them to go into the promised land and all of that. There's another time where there's this guy, his name's Simon Peter. He's out on a boat. He's been fishing all night. He's tired. He's like, this has been a long day. Didn't really catch anything. I think I'm just going to pack up and go get some sleep, come back tomorrow, see if I can find a better spot to fish. And some random guy named Jesus shows up on the shore. At this point, nobody really knew who he was. And he's like, hey, don't pack up. Push out further. Don't, like, shore up all, you know, give more. Push out further. Do more. Encourage more. And he's like, I'm tired. I can't give more. Are you kidding me? I've been giving all night, and I'm done. And Jesus is like, hey, just push out a little bit further. Go out a little bit harder. Just push out. Just trust me. So he's like, all right. Pushes out a little bit further and has the biggest catch of his life. Suddenly, there's a change in his situation, right? And it's cool. The Bible says that, you know, two times Peter gave all that up and said, you know, I'm going to go after the more powerful thing, which is following Jesus. And so I'm praying for you suddenly moments. I'm praying for that you recognize that God notices you. When you wanted to be jealous, but instead you chose to be grateful, God noticed that. You planted powerful seeds for your breakthrough, powerful seeds for your suddenly moment when you made that choice. When you wanted to get even, when everything in you felt justified, but instead you let God defend you, God saw you, he noticed you, and he wants to let you know that he has a suddenly moment that you planted the seeds for when you did that. When you chose to be kind, even when they didn't deserve it, God noticed you. When they dishonored you and you chose instead to honor God, God noticed that. You planted powerful seeds for personal and corporate revival. You planted powerful seeds for overcoming the problems that you face by doing that. He noticed you. When it would have felt so good to speak out in anger, but instead you just took it to God, man, God noticed that. When you chose to give, you chose to serve, you chose to show up, you chose to pray, you chose to come here even today, God noticed that. God noticed. When you chose to sing, I am your child, I am your son, I am your daughter, what you say about me, Jesus, is true, whether or not my soul believes it, I'm going to command my soul to believe it. When you chose to make those things, God noticed. God noticed that. When everyone forgot about you, but you still put your trust in God, God noticed you. He loves you. He noticed that. What a powerful offering when we make those choices to take the higher road, and God notices powerful offerings. He noticed you. So today I want to talk to you about, if I were to put a title to the sermon, it would be that God notices you, or even though I'm blind, God still sees me. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to just real quick go through these seven verses. And like I said, if I were to make a title for today, it would be, even though I'm blind, God still sees me. I never want to be a professional preacher. So whenever I give titles, whenever I prepare sermons, I prepare them for myself. So these words, even though I, Jeff Bassett, am blind, God still sees me. But I also don't want my own personal walk with God to limit your access to the same kind of personal walk with God. So when you read that, I'd love for you to read it as, even though, if I were saying it to you or you were saying it to me, it would be, even though you're blind, God still sees you. But I'd love for you to do everything that you can to allow Jesus to make this personal to you this morning. Sound good? Cool. So even though I'm blind, God still sees me. John chapter 9, it says, as he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, Jesus spat on the ground. It's a little odd. He's like, it's going to dry. I've been talking a lot. Jesus spat on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it into the man's eyes. Go, he told the man, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And so the man went, washed, and came home seeing. I have three quick observations. I know I broke every PowerPoint rule by putting all that text up in one slide, but you guys have your own Bibles. You can read it there. But I'm going to make three quick observations about this text and about how God's worked in my life, and I'm sure worked and working in your life. The first observation is that the road to breakthrough, the road to miracles, the road to suddenly moments is often soaked with spit and mud. It is. Can you imagine this guy? He's just there, minding his own business. All of a sudden, someone comes up. The thing about this is that, you know, I had this story categorized in my mind as there was a blind guy. Jesus is walking by, and the blind guy is like, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the blind guy's tugging on Jesus, and the blind guy's saying, Jesus, heal me, heal me, heal me. And Jesus is like, all right, I guess, because you're so persistent, I'll heal you. But that's not this story. There are stories like that. But that's not this story. This story is Jesus saw him. He didn't ask for this. He was like, I'm fine in the corner. I'm not going to make any noise. I'm fed up with people talking about me. I'm just going to sit there. And Jesus saw him. And Jesus noticed him. And Jesus had the audacity to run up and spit in his face and tell him to go. And he's blind, and all of a sudden he's got Holy Spirit saliva in his face. I don't know. If Jesus' spit probably was similar to our spit, right? And like, this nasty mud in your face, and this random voice says go, but something deep down inside says, I think this is a little bit different. And so the man went. It's pretty awesome to me, but it's a reminder to me that I don't like it. I wish it wasn't in there. But somehow, when you feel like you're being paraded around town with spit and mud in your face, if you can stay obedient, if you can keep your love and your soul right, you might be seconds away from the miracle you've been waiting your whole life for. I don't like it, but it's kind of how the world works, how the Bible shows. I wish it wasn't that way. But number two, next observation is that he notices you. He notices me. I don't notice him. He notices me. He first loved me, right? I love him. I worship him. I give to him. I live for him because he first noticed me. It's that way around. Like I said, this guy says Jesus is going along, and Jesus saw him. I want everybody to close their eyes real quick. We're just going to pretend that we're blind, right? So your eyes are closed. Your whole life, crushing darkness. You can't get away from it. All you hear, sometimes whispers, sometimes shouts. hey, that guy, see that guy there? Hey, see that girl there? She's a bad person. He's a bad person. His parents were bad. You know why they're blind? Hey, I can wave my hands in their face and they won't even see me. You know why they're blind? Because they're bad. Sometimes whispers, sometimes shouts. You guys can open your eyes. Can you imagine living like that way? No wonder this guy just sat in the corner. No wonder this guy said, you know what? I'm done asking for help. I'm done having people, my wife loves essential oils. I'm done having people tell me what essential oil is gonna make my eyes open up, right? I'm done with the snake oil. I'm done, right? I'm done with it. I'm just gonna sit in the corner. So, sorry if I stepped on anyone's toes there. Anyway. He's just gonna sit there, but Jesus notices him. I'm so grateful that when I sit in the corner and sulk, don't wanna come to church, don't wanna be around Christians, don't wanna be around anybody, I'm so grateful that God still comes in the room. He's still right up in my face. I can't get away from him. When I was laying in a mud brick house in Tibet with a broken pelvis, my prayer quickly turned to God, heal me or kill me, because I cannot do this. I would pass in and out of pain. I'd watch my daughter come and wipe up my bowel movements off of me, the worst pain I'd ever, while my wife was negotiating with the military base that was close to us to try to figure out how we were gonna get our stuff out of there, I just said, God, I can't do this. And I'm so grateful that God didn't say, oh, okay, yeah, good point, I'm just gonna leave. Right? God doesn't work like that. He loves me enough to get right up in my face and hug me and say, son, I got you. I love you. I'm here. I'm never leaving. He notices us. All right, the next one is that God, you can put the next one up, that God asks us to do something hard so he can do something impossible. Jesus says, do something hard so I can do something impossible. Verse 6, it says, after saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, put it in the man's eyes and said, go. He told him to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And so the man went, he washed and came home seeing. So the guy's blind and he's like, hey, yeah, if you just want to go down to 5th Street, hang a left right down there. There's going to be this little hot tub. Hop in the hot tub. He's blind. I don't know if it was like, go to the pool of Siloam, which is right here, or if it was go to the pool, which is miles and miles and miles away, I don't know, but either one would have been difficult, right? He just prayed through the town, he did all this stuff. God asked us to do things hard so he can do things impossible. I wish it was not here. I struggle with this. God, I'm blind. I can't do this. Do you know what you're asking of me? I want to wallow in my pain. Jesus, if I'm honest, I'm done asking. I didn't ask for this. You walked by, noticed me, spat in my face, and now you're asking me to do this? This is the first time in these 7 verses that you're even talking to me. But now you've been talking about me, saying this weird thing about that it's day and night and that it can only work, and then you spit in my face, and now you're asking me to do something. God, if I'm honest, I just want you to leave me alone. Just let me be. My whole life I've been suffering. I've been blind for your glory. Really? And now you're going to ask me to do this hard thing? Just leave me alone. Go heal somebody else. Jesus says, go wash your face. But Jesus, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm strong enough. I've never even been there. I don't know if I can do this. Go wash your face, son. Go wash your face, daughter. And then one of the most powerful, understated verses, I think, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, John chapter 9, verse 7, so the man went. There wasn't a big discussion. It was just blind obedience. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. That's just like a short verse, but the power in that man's testimony of his story all the way up until then, God dropped something in his heart, and so he went, just blindly obeyed. I want to pray with you guys. I pray that there's suddenly moments. I pray that somehow through my words that God has shown you that he notices you, that he loves you. I'm human. You're human. It's so easy to hide behind religion. It's so easy to just come and do that. But we know in our soul we're blind, right? If you're like me, so there's all kinds of stuff I need to sort out. So I want to pray with you that we can sort those things out. But the encouragement that I give to you is that God notices you, that he loves you, that he cares deeply about you. And that even if you're the woman with the flow of blood for 12 years and you're like, I've had a chronic issue and I'm going to chase God down until he answers me, I applaud you. That's amazing. But if you're the blind guy his whole life and you're like, I'm done. I don't have the energy. I'm just going to sit back here. I got news for you. God notices both. He cares about both, and he heals both. He loves you. He cares about you. I'm going to pray, all right? Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that I could be here. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for noticing us. I pray for you, son. I pray that you can know that God stopped the universe for you today to let you know that he notices you. I pray for you, daughter. I pray that you know that your Father in heaven thinks you're beautiful, thinks you're a hard worker, you're diligent, you're faithful. I pray that we deeply know that what you say about us, Jesus, is true, that we're your sons and your daughters. Amen. Pastor Kevin's going to come up. Give it up for him.
Prayer team's going to come forward this morning, so if you are one member of our prayer team, come on, find you a spot up front. And here's the deal: when I was talking to Jeff about all that he went through, we decided that this would be a good day in our church series because it was a good day for us to talk about how we sometimes go through pain and brokenness, and how God is able to take even our pain and brokenness in these moments and help us to have faith to be everything he made us to be. So here's what we'd like you to do. If you're in this room today and you want to take a couple of moments, somebody's here to pray with you. If you need help, I don't know how to say this exactly the right way except this. That often when it comes time to pray, we get tired of praying because I said that 10,000 times and you still hadn't done anything. Anybody ever feel that way? I prayed that 10,000 times. You still hadn't done a thing. And I've been looking at prayer recently. I was talking about the Lord's Prayer. One of the things that I think prayer is for, actually I think the reason we have prayer is what you said. That moment when you're at your lowest, that's when God embraced him. Prayer is not about God coming in and fixing your situation. That's what we think he's supposed to do. But prayer is about that moment where you approach God and God comes and fixes you so you can fix your situation. Now, occasionally he'll do a miracle. Occasionally, you know, the blind eyes will open and that kind of stuff. But most of the time, if we're honest, it's not about God fixing every problem, but about God fixing us so we can fix the problem. And how he fixes us, you ready for this one? How he fixes us is not to give us this overwhelming miracle-working power, but to give us character. Character that only comes from a relationship with him. Character that only comes by you actually believing the truths that he has to say to your heart so that then you act upon what he's saying to your spirit. So today, I'd like to sell you some Christian mumbo-jumbo snake oil salesman. I really would. I'd like to. But it's a lie. And I promised you guys, I won't lie to you. God's probably not going to immediately deal with every problem you face. But if you let him, he will immediately deal with you. If you let him, he will immediately begin to speak to you words of encouragement and hope and life. And then he'll give you a new direction. Am I correct? A new direction? New hope? Yeah, because he lost. How old are you? 33. How'd you like 33? Wow. Somebody else went through a hard time at 33. How would you like to lose your entire career path at 33? How'd you like to go through that? Physically, be decimated like you've never been decimated before, so you can't do what you always did. How'd you like to go through that? And when that happens, pat answers, Christian answers just aren't enough, are they? No, Jeff, not enough. No, not enough. No, no. So I'm not telling you pat Christian answers. I'm telling you that Jesus loves you, and he wants to be your friend, and he wants to help you have the power to change your world. That's why we're going to pray. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and I don't know what these guys are going to lead us to sing. You got something to sing? They'll sing something, I'm sure. And as they're singing something, if you want somebody to pray with you, you got it here. If not, please, we got 5 minutes. Don't run out the door. Just stay. Talk to God about your issues and your struggles. Just stay. Don't go anywhere. Just you, Father God, you notice us. The next couple of moments, would you help our hearts listen to what you would say to us? And would you empower us to be the men and women of God you've called us to be in the name of Jesus? Amen. Amen. If you want somebody to pray with you, prayer teams are here. If you're not acquainted, what just happened is what the Bible calls a gift of tongues and interpretation. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. And what it says is this gift is given as an edification and an exhortation. And apparently, a preacher speaking to you and a preacher talking to you is not enough for you to listen this morning. So God has to use one of you. Stop and say, listen, I told you to come to me. I told you to come to me, but you still aren't listening. You know what you're doing? You're making excuses. You're hiding. And he stops the service, and he gives this thing called a supernatural gift. It's his gift of the Spirit to speak to you that you need to come to him. Quit coming to your excuses, your faults, your failures, your problems, your issues, and come to him. Isn't that what it says? The Bible says to test whether or not these gifts are appropriate with the scriptures. Would God say something like, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Would Jesus actually say something like that? Well, then why is it after somebody pleads with you, and God pleads with you through supernatural gift, why would you walk out the back door without coming to him? Because he's noticing you. I don't believe that message was for every one of you. I believe that message was for a handful of you. You're just sitting there doing the same thing over and over again and complaining you're getting the same results. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Quit making excuses. Quit fighting it. Just come to him. So, Father, we lay it before you. Jeff said that the guy had to take a step of faith. He said he had to take a step of faith. Isn't that what he said? He had to wash the mud off his eyes. Well, God just spoke to you. God spoke to you, not to everybody else around you. God just spoke to you. You know what you have to do? You have to take a step of faith. So I'm going to ask you, if that was for you, if God spoke to you And you sat through this entire service and you still weren't coming to him. But he stopped and he spoke to you. And he said, come unto me. If that's you, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to literally to get out of your chair. I want you to come right down here to the front. And I want you to stand right here, okay? Not because there's anything here. It's because you need to do it. You need to. Yeah. Come on, stand up. Anybody else? Oh, God was talking to a few of us. Pool's a little muddy today. A lot of people washing mud off their eyes, huh? Father God, in the name of Jesus, every one of these who stepped out and said, I will now listen. And I won't just come to a church service, but I'll come to the one with nail-scarred hands who knows the pain, who's a man of sorrows, broken and carrying our griefs. I come to you, Jesus. I come to you. I now meet everyone who comes to you. Meet them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. With your love. With your compassion. You reached out to the one. In the name of Jesus.